God bless you. Nice to be here today. And we heard the good news that the baby was, the name was born. What's the name?
Ayan.
Ayan. Frumos. Slava Domnule. So we have a new... You are evangelizing then. You have a new member today. 2 days old. Well, you have very beautiful children here. And they're all blessed. Very blessed. Nice, nice. Really enjoy the singing. So I'm very happy to be back here. Thank you, Lord. So have you been happy all this time? Or have you been having trials like me? Have you been having battles like me against the devil? Some people say yes, yes. And some people say it's more yes than others. Thank you, Lord. If anybody has any sickness, we can pray for the sickness. We are in a church today that you believe in miraculous healing, right? They don't let us pray for the sick in every church we go. You let us, yeah, right? So anybody sick, we pray for you. Amen. If there are pains, we can pray even before the service. So you can enjoy the message. So if you have any pains, you can come here right now. We can ask the Lord to take it away right now. So you can go back and sit down without pain. Amen. Alright. So just we just had the miraculous healing a couple of days ago? 2 days ago? Just 2 days ago we had a big miraculous healing. See, we have some sponsors that help us. And some of the sponsors, they gave us some food. So we went to distribute this food to some poor families. So we went to this family and we gave some meat, some sausages, some fresh fruit and veggies. Alright, and which the Lord provided. So as soon as we went to this house, which is not the first time we go to this place, and so this lady, she doesn't have a husband, she has three children. Right? And then she has a daughter who also has a baby and a husband. Right? So, but they are very sweet people. They're from Haiti, right? No? I don't know what religion, but they're very sweet, they believe. They didn't believe in the Lord, they were crying all the time. So they've been through a lot of, the devil goes around like a roaring lion, they've been through a lot of tribulations. So anyway, they asked for prayer for different things. And we said, we brought some food, but is there something more important we can do? Do you want some prayer for something spiritual? And she said, yes, my father is at the cancer in the countryside. And my daughter is there assisting him right now. And she herself had a tumor in her hernia. And then a very strong headache since a long time. And so we prayed. And the Lord Jesus healed her on the spot. She said the head had left. And she said that she had this very strong pain in the hernia because of the tumor. Since how long? So then as soon as we pray for her, okay, we put a little oil. She said immediately the pain left on the spot. And the strong headache which she had for a long time also left on the spot. And so, she had a son, some 11-year-old son, very sweet boy. Really loved Jesus too. Very, very sweet. So the son said, "Mommy, if you are healed, you need to jump up and down." Right. So she started to jump up and down. Because before, because of the pain and the hernia, the tumor, she couldn't take a jump. And she couldn't stop jumping. So we just want to testify this miracle. Praise the Lord. So our Jesus is got the miracle today. Hallelujah. So anybody sick, we don't have to be sick. All right. So, see, the way we get people healed is not that we have any special magic touch or anything. Every healing I've seen has always been because of preaching of the word. So what really heals people that I've seen, in my case at least, I've seen very many people getting healed, is always by the preaching of the word. So people go healed even before we lay hands on them. Just because they open their heart to Jesus and to the preaching of the word, and the word healed them before we put the oil. So while you're sitting there, you can just be healed. If you really open your heart to Jesus, because it's not the preacher that heals you, it's the word. The word does everything. The word is Jesus. The moment we open our heart to the preaching of the word, we continually receive Jesus. This is not salvation. Salvation you get once and forever. I'm one of those crazy people who believe they can lose salvation. I used to think you could lose it. But then God spoke to me. And the Lord, there was a scripture in the Bible, Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, which I couldn't explain. Alright, about he that overcomes and will not erase his name from the book of life. So I couldn't explain the scripture. Nobody ever explained it to me. So there was this evangelical lady, she came to me and started rebuking me and said, "Of course you lose salvation. Of course this and that." So I changed my mind and said, "Okay, I guess you can lose it." And for a few years I thought you could lose salvation. But then the Lord spoke to me one day. Alright. He was actually here in Arad many years ago. I was supposed to teach a message about salvation and say, "Lord, how can I get around the scripture here?" I remember it was 6 o'clock in the morning, I need to prepare a message. So I said, "Lord, it's written here, he that overcomes shall not be erased from the book of life." So that means if I don't overcome, you erase my name. This was the strongest scripture against the security of eternal salvation. So the Lord told me, and this is where I changed my doctrine again. I went back to believe you couldn't lose it. So Jesus spoke to me and he told me, it doesn't say you lose salvation. I said, Lord, yes it does. Let me read it to you. Yeah, Lord, let me read it to you. See, if he that overcomes shall not be raised his mind. And the Lord said, read it again. So I read it again. I read it some 5-6 times. I said, Lord, this says you have to overcome. If you don't overcome, my name is erased. And then Jesus said, no, it doesn't say that. I said, I don't understand. I kept reading and reading. So finally, the Lord gave me a message. And the message was this. I will erase his name from the book of life. I will. They don't overcome. But he said to me, your name, me, Joseph, your name is not written in the book of life. So, you know, I'm a Bible preacher. So I don't preach, I don't teach if I don't see something in the Bible. Remember last time I was preaching about the marriage agency? In quotes. Well, it's in the Bible, right? The marriage of Christ. So, the Lord gave me scripture. And then, yeah, let me read it to you. A book of Revelation. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Alright, and it is in a couple of chapters. Let's go to chapter 13. Revelation 13. Yeah. Revelation 13:8.
Și tot slăbitor Pământului este vor mâna, tot acela al cărui nume n-a fost scris de la întâlnirea lumii în cartea vieții mielului, care a fost înșelat.
The Book of the Lamb.
Cartea vieții mielului.
See, Revelation 20, where it says the books were opened, it's in the plural. Revelation 20:12. And alright, 15. So this is the book of life that the name can be erased. But you see, it says here in Revelation 20 verse 12 that the books are plural. There are many books. There is not just the book of life. There is the book of life, but that is not a good book. It's better than hell, but it's not the best book. See, there is the book of life that's the people who don't go to the lake of fire. But then there is another book, it's the book of the Lamb. It's a different book. See, we can see that Revelation 21:27.
nimeni care trăiește în furtăciune și în minciună. Și numai ce scris în Cartea Vieții Mielului.
It's talking about enter the New Jerusalem.
Aici e vorba despre Noul Ierusalim. Nici nu vreau numai ca Noul Ierusalim o cetate.
Do you understand the difference? You want more scripture on this? Is it coming clear? Or no? So the Book of the Lamb is the bride. These are the people written before the foundation of the world. This is the bride of Christ. See, we don't have see, the devil lost eternal life, and he's going to go to hell, right? Like, can we go to heaven and lose our salvation like the devil did?
I mean,
the devil was in heaven, he lost his eternal life. He lost his salvation. Why can't we go to heaven and lose our salvation? I mean, a lot of Christians believe that you can lose salvation today. So why can't we lose in heaven? The devil did. The demons did. They were the fallen angels. Why can't you, if you can lose salvation now, why can't you lose it in heaven? The devil did. See, the devil had an eternal life which was conditional. Adam and Eve had eternal life which was conditional. Conditional to no eating the forbidden fruit. But if they would have eaten of the tree of life, they would not have died anymore, God said. God says in Genesis 3, let's get them out of the garden, lest they eat of the fruit of life and live forever. The tree of life is Jesus. Now we ate the tree of life. When we receive Jesus, we receive the tree of life. See, the devil's eternal life, the devil's salvation was conditional. Salvation of Adam and Eve was conditional. They had to obey. They disobey, they die. And they died. The devil disobeyed, he's going to hell. But we don't have the same eternal life Adam and Eve had or the devil had. We have a Savior. The devil did not have the salvation of Jesus Christ. The devil was never saved. He didn't receive Jesus. He crucified Jesus. When Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, they crucified Jesus. They disobeyed God. It was a form of crucifying Jesus. When Adam and Eve disobeyed. All right, but when we receive Jesus, we eat of the tree of life, the fruit of the tree of life, which was in the garden, which was Jesus, which Adam and Eve got sent out not to eat it. They didn't, they were not ready for salvation. Do you understand the difference? So that's the eternal life is conditional. People who go to heaven, whose name are written in the book of life, they can still, it's conditional. Like Adam and Eve, they have to follow certain laws and rules. But when we receive Christ, we become Christ. Jesus. We become like Jesus. Not the head, but the body. Do you understand? We receive, like when we do communion, the wine and the bread, alright, and you are eating the body of Christ. We become, that's a symbol, okay? Alright, symbolic. So, that means we become part of the body of Christ. So we are going to go to heaven with our names written in the book of the Lamb, which cannot be raised. We don't have to worry about repenting anymore. Because Romans 2:4 says repentance is automatic when you have Jesus. It says that the Romans, can you read 2:4 B, the second part of the scripture? It says the goodness of God leads us to repentance. First John 2:1-2 says, my little children, don't sin. But if you sin, let's read it. Don't sin. But if you sin, we have a lawyer. The Greek word here is parakleto. The same word used for the Holy Spirit. In fact, when you receive Jesus, you don't receive Jesus of Nazareth in the flesh. You receive the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. So the Paracleto. So we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts. So when we sin, we don't even know how to repent. We don't know. The Holy Spirit leads us to repentance. But never if you're not saved. Always if you have Jesus. You follow? Read it again. Please don't beat me up. Okay. But I don't believe in this doctrine you can lose salvation. You can believe if you want. The body of Christ is divided. I mean, you sin, you lose salvation. But it's not scriptural. There is no scripture. There was somebody, I was talking, somebody said, Hebrews 6 says that you are partaker of the heavenly gifts, if you try the heavenly gifts, etc., you cannot be brought to repentance anymore. Yeah, that's what it says. But it doesn't say you were saved. It's talking of people who saw Jesus, or who heard the message of Jesus. Okay, yeah, 2,000 years ago. Or today, through me and through you. They hear about Jesus. I had a man in Cluj, I prayed, I laid hands, he got healed, he had a bad sickness. Well, the guy was killing a pig on the street. I stopped to look at the pig. I got out of the car and said, "What? Boy, you're killing a pig here." So anyway, it turned out the guy was sick. So I laid hands on the guy. He was an Orthodox. He didn't believe in anything. Orthodox by name, just nominal Christian. So he said he was sick, this and that. So I laid hands on him, he got healed. And then I said, make sure you read the Bible. He wasn't ready to receive salvation. But he got healed. And then he lost salvation. He lost the healing again. I went back to see him again. I laid hands on him. He got healed again. I phoned. I went to his house, had a meeting. He invited 10 people. There were 10 people sick. 5 got healed, 5 didn't. I remember. So, and he got healed again. Then I phoned again after 2 weeks. And he said, I was okay for a week, but then I got sick again. I said, but did you follow instructions? Did you pray for Jesus every day? Did you get on your knees and ask for salvation? He said, no, I didn't have time for that. Did you ask Jesus to forgive for your sins? They said, no, I think this is working. Did you read the gospel? No, I had to go to work. I said, that's why I go sick again. See, Hebrews 6 says they tasted the power to come, but they fall away, they cannot be brought to repentance anymore. You understand? So Hebrews 6, it does not say those people were saved. So you hear stories. Oh, that guy was coming to our Pentecostal church for 40 years. And then he started beating his wife, he committed adultery. He didn't come back to church anymore. And he died. He lost salvation. Did he? I think he never had salvation. How do you know that somebody is saved? Not because he came to your church, but because of the fruits. Jesus said in Matthew 24:13, he that endures until the end shall be saved. Translation. He that is saved will endure until the end. You guys understand? So please, if I were in you, I would not think you can lose salvation. You really think Jesus can send you back to hell? John 10:27-28. Read it. Hold my arms. Let's say this is Jesus. Let's say this is a sinner. He believes in Jesus for 59 years. And then he becomes a drunken alcoholic, he beats a wife. It's a woman, she forsake the husband. So you forsake Jesus. So you let it go. You let go. Are you holding on me anymore? No. Are you holding on me anymore? No. Are you holding on me? This is Jesus, okay? You let go. Let go. Are you holding on Jesus anymore? No. Are you separated from Jesus?
No.
No. Why? 28. Salvation does not depend on our good works. Everybody Catholic here? Do we have any Catholic here? I don't want to offend a Catholic. I grew up a Catholic. I don't want to offend a Catholic. But I'm sorry for, but your good works don't save you. God loves you. But you don't need to help Jesus to save you. Just like your good works don't save you in the first place, they don't keep you saved. We cannot go to heaven and say, Jesus, thank you for saving me. But now, from now on, I take care of myself. My good works will keep me saved. It's not going to work. You are not better than anybody. Raise your hands, anybody better than King David here? Raise your hand. Who's better than King David in the Bible? Are you better? Yes or no?
No.
No. He was an adulteress. He killed Bathsheba's husband because he wanted to go to bed with her. For 1 year he kept silent. David. Etc. Etc. He numbered the people so that the angel of God killed tens of thousands of people in Jerusalem. Read the last chapter in the second Psalm. He was an adulteress. A murderer to cover up for his adultery. If a brother in this church would kill you, brother, to go to bed with your wife, would you say lose the salvation? Oh, many churches, of course. Well, David didn't. Look, he was saved. He understand? God will spank him and everything, but he was saved. Is this to encourage you, once saved, always saved? Now that you're saved forever, you can sin, you can commit adultery. That's what they tell me. If I preach eternal salvation, you encourage people to sin. Not at all. I firmly believe that I'm saved, I cannot lose my salvation. Do you see me going around committing adultery, stealing, lying? I don't do that. I don't care if I don't lose salvation. I don't do that because I love Jesus. Amen. Alright. Maybe somebody hated this. Don't lose salvation. Amen. Isn't that relaxing? See, one reason the devil is trying to convince that we lose salvation is so that we have no gospel to preach. Martin Luther didn't believe it was a salvation. Not at all. He believed in eternal salvation, cannot lose. It's a modern thing. So if you believe you lose salvation, what gospel are you preaching? Yeah, do you want to receive Jesus? He can save you. Oh, tomorrow you can lose it. Salvation. Tomorrow you can still go to the lake of fire. Here is a long list of sins. You make any one of the sins, back to the lake of fire. So you commit a sin of any kind, you get discouraged, and that you say, just forget. That's why I believe a lot of Christians don't evangelize. There is little to preach. They are preaching that Jesus like Mohammed or like Buddha. If you get saved by works, it's the same. If you stay saved because of your works, then it's a religion of works. Amen. And if you, because you're saved, you go around committing adultery because you're saved, you are not saved. Not because you commit adultery, but because you desire. You can commit adultery and repent, then straighten up and repent and don't do it. Like David. But if you, as a sin, as a mistake, but if you desire to do such sins because you're saved, you are not saved. You don't know Jesus. You don't have a relationship with Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We want to talk about evangelism this morning a little bit. And incidentally, evangelists begin with salvations. Like, if you don't preach salvation, what are you preaching? Nothing. What kind of Jesus is that? We said the sins that he sends you back to the lake of fire. That's what he tell me. Tell me. In Matthew 12, Jesus said, every sin shall be forgiven to the people. But the sin, except the sins against the Holy Spirit, which is now the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ is the same thing, okay? So the sins against the Holy Spirit means to reject Jesus. So, verse 31. Jesus is saying, every sin be forgiven. Even sins against the Son of Man, Jesus. So it doesn't matter what sin you make, it'll be forgiven. Am I encouraging you to sin? No. Because if you desire to sin, you are not saved. Alright, so Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 20, 21
over there. Matthew 18 and 22.
You know, because people say you are saved if you don't continually sin. No, you can sin again and again. Even 70 times 7, you're still forgiven. Isn't that incredible? It doesn't it look like Jesus is encouraging people to sin? That's what it looks like. If you tell somebody, if you sin 490 times a day, you are forgiven. Jesus is not encouraging to sin. Because if you are saved, you don't desire to sin. So anyway, back to the evangelist. But we have to understand this point, because when we go evangelizing, we must tell people the good news. Do you know that in the whole New Testament, nobody ever preached about losing salvation? They were only preaching salvation. It's only today that in some churches they preach about losing salvation. Because the devil can steal us that joy. Then there is no good news to preach. I mean, you know the sins you commit in secret that nobody knows? You can confess them in secret. The sins that everybody knows, those you confess to everybody. If it's a sin against your wife or your husband only, they confess them only to your husband or your wife. Amen. Let's close. I hope I make this clear enough. But it's very important when you go evangelizing that you preach an unconditional salvation. Because I want to talk about evangelism. Evangelizing this town here. We were talking about going to Scuola Cultura, or maybe some school. And you're all invited. We would like to organize an evangelist in this town. We were talking this morning about it. So please start evangelizing. Not in a religious way. Alright, so Jesus, to save us, had to go on the cross. Okay, had to dress up as a sinner. He had to become a friend of the publicans and the prostitutes and the sinners. He didn't wash his hands. And it's like things which seem strange. So when you evangelize, sometimes you have to make sacrifices. If you win and say, if you evangelize it to Orthodox, you have to dress up like an Orthodox. You have to put earrings on, take the copy of scarf, dress up like an Orthodox. Do you understand? Not because you're worshipping the gold or the earrings. But you wear it so to show them that you are not a different religion. That's why you don't have many Orthodox sitting here. Because you evangelize in a sectarian, denominational way, restricted. Alright? The woman's following Jesus, he never puts laws, you have to put a scarf when you go out evangelizing. That is something that Paul said you can do inside the church. But when you go evangelizing, you have to dress up like the people you're trying to evangelize. When we went to a place one time, we evangelized on 3,000, it was a meeting of 3,000 drug addicts, we went. Some 3,000. We told you last time, remember? Remember? We dressed up like drug addicts. You remember the story? We put jeans, we cut the jeans, broken shirts, just handkerchiefs around here. The scarf wasn't here, it was here. And so many people got saved. Imagine if he would have gone there with a tie and a dark suit and the girls with a scarf on the head. They would not get saved. The scarf is a testimony here in the church. When you evangelize, the Orthodox dress up like an Orthodox. 1 Corinthians 9. It says to those without law, verse 20-21, you have to become without law. He's talking about the law of God. Just put aside the law of God. You need to look like an atheist. I've been witnessing to Satanists. Anna spoke the language of the Satanists. This has been a worship the devil. They would ask me, what do you think about demon-possessed music, etc.? They were testing me to see if I would be very religious about it. Because they knew I was a Christian, right? So they were testing me. So I would say, oh, that guy music? I say, it was Michael Jackson. At first I changed conversation two times. But this girl kept insisting. Yeah, but tell me what you think about him. I knew it was the devil trying to test me. To blow up my cover. So I couldn't evangelize anymore. So I said, Michael Jackson music, I think is very perfectionist, it's really high level, the guy really knows how to make special effects. And I changed the conversation, so I said, good. I said something about Michael Jackson, which was real. The guy was a high class musician, like a world top singer. I didn't say he was demon possessed, because this girl, she was worshiping Michael Jackson, and it was a club, a Michael Jackson club. Okay, and at the end, many people got saved. Because some of the Satanists is here around with the face of the devil here dressed in black. Especially the young ones. They are some of the most shifty people. Have you ever evangelized some of them? Nobody. See, because you are scared of them. Because you have to go with the scarf. You have to go with your religious talk. They know they're going to make fun of you. But if you go dress like Jesus. Okay, don't go as a pocket. Go just like Jesus. Don't preach your religion in your church. Preach Jesus. But don't preach too much either. Talk about the birds and the sunsets, the trees. So talk about films. Talk about music. Food. Talk about whatever they want to talk. Because you have to earn your right to preach. I learned many years ago when I traveled in different continents, I had to pay to preach. You don't preach for free. I had to buy the ticket for the plane. I had to get a pack of money ready to rent a house in India.
durante una predica per inchiria o casa media che non posso
fare. I tell you, I had to prepare 2 years of preparation, collecting money to go open a mission in India. For me to stay 2.5 years in India, I had to prepare for 2 years. I tell you, I don't pray. It costs me to preach. I'm not just in money. In time, my mentality had to change. I had to pay my pride, my selfishness, my laziness. It cost. But I see people getting saved. Now a lot of these people that I have to speak their language, now they are Christians. Now they are in Apocalypse Church. Some of them are pastors. I can think a drug pusher. A guy that was walking around with a gun here. Yeah. A big gun like this. Because people wanted to kill him. In Italy. I evangelized this guy. When he got saved, everybody in the town freaked out. Because he was going around with a gun because there were people trying to kill him. This guy is 32 years old. He ruined a lot of young kids. He got them addicted in drugs. The parents of these young people wanted to kill him. He became my best friends. We were walking the street all the time together. They thought I was also a drug dealer. This guy was into drugs. Yeah, this guy had AIDS. I was hugging him every day. It's okay. He don't catch it. Now he's a pastor. He has a church. A Pentecostal church. In Rome. But I spoke his language.